Thanks once again for meeting with us, the November episode of Ask the Mayor.
Good to see you again, Joe.
In Bloomington with John Hamilton. We have to start with just what happened last week. We'd love your reaction on the election.
Do we have
over?
To start with that? No.
Well, are you surprised?
I was shocked. I do have to say, Joe, well, I'll say locally, we the Democrats, my party that I work with and in and for, did extremely well and extraordinarily gratified that our public school referendum passed 82%. It was an overwhelming support that way locally. But statewide and then nationally, I was just shocked. I did not think that was where our country or state were headed.
What were you thinking? Results were coming in, I think, around 7 p.m. when Indiana called Trump, and then it kind of snowballed, at least for the Democratic Party, from there. As a Democrat, do you think that the Democratic Party did enough to campaign this past year in Indiana?
Oh, well, you know, campaigns are often have people who look back and say, we could have done this, we could have done that. Look, this was an extraordinary year. Democrats worked their hearts out. I canvassed. I was at the phone centers several different times for many hours, and the number of people involved was enormous. And it's worth noting that Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump nationally. So it's not like she didn't turn out votes. They just were scattered in ways that meant the Electoral College came out a different way. And that's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating for young people who want to see it turn out the way they want. But this really was, it was of great concern to me how the election was run, how the campaign was run, I should say, I guess. I was trying to think of a campaign that was so based on fear and anger, and typically that doesn't work. Americans don't want a campaign based on fear and anger. They look for campaigns talking about positive, the future, and we're a positive people. So I was very shocked that divisive and kind of anger-based approach prevailed.
Eric Holcomb, now the governor-elect. What do you know about him, and do you now take a stance? Do you look forward to working with him?
Look, Bloomington, we work with the governor, whomever the governor is, of course, and lieutenant governor and other elected officials. We're all part of a quilt of governmental entities that work together. I don't know Eric Holcomb. We may have met. I'm not sure we've even met. But I certainly will represent our city and work with the state. I do think it's important that they hear from places like Bloomington with our values, our commitment to diversity, our commitment to an open economy, our commitment to an open society and protection of people's rights, women's rights, minority rights, religious rights, LGBTQ rights, all those rights. We're a very important voice to be heard about where we want to head.
We have four questions from listeners who emailed or Twittered in. We'll start with Lisa. Lisa emails in, what will the city be doing to keep vulnerable residents safe, and what actions will your administration be taking in response to acts of hate in our town?
Well, one of the most upsetting things that's happened, most disturbing things, is even in this last week, we've had swastikas painted on the Beeline Trail, KKK painted on the Beeline Trail, right next to one of our most diverse neighborhoods, Trailview. We've had racial epithets used. We have kids in school who are nervous, who are worried about either themselves or their friends. And it is absolutely fundamental to me, and I know to the elected officials here, to keep this community safe, to protect people from that kind of hatred or divisiveness. We will not tolerate that kind of behavior. We'll prosecute it to the fullest extent of the law, because that is not Bloomington. Now, I was at Trailview the night that painting was discovered in the morning, and there was a beautiful vigil of the people there with the police, and we cleaned it up as quickly as we can. I want everybody in the community to know we care about everybody. Everybody belongs. If you see anything that you think we should know about, please just call us. Call 911 if you have any question. We have a strong civil rights ordinance. We have a police force that's committed to protection, and I am 100% committed to make sure this community stays safe and stays welcoming to everybody.
Tina emails in on something that we've seen in the news in larger cities. She asks, would you consider taking on a leadership role in making Bloomington a sanctuary city to protect immigrants from being turned over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement without due process?
The short answer is yes, absolutely. I have seen that in some of the larger cities that have stepped forward in the last few days to re-emphasize that. I know it came up in a big community meeting last night. I know our council and I would be very open to thinking about it. I don't know the details and logistics of that, but I certainly believe Bloomington ought to be in that front vanguard, protecting against inappropriate tearing families apart.
Ben writes in as well, somewhat similar, Mayor Hamilton, many deportations begin when an immigrant is arrested, and despite the reason for the arrest, it is flagged in the system and then they can begin deportation procedures. Is there anything Bloomington's police department can do to prevent those flags from being raised and help protect our residents from federal incursion?
Similarly, Joe, I mean, I'm not aware of that issue being I haven't heard of an episode happening since I've been mayor, which doesn't mean it didn't happen. I haven't heard of it, and I certainly do want to hear about it. And we're open again with the council, city council, to make sure that this community is not part of what I view as a terrible idea that the president-elect has pushed forward to massively deport people from our country, which is just a disgraceful idea from my perspective. It's not American. We obviously have immigration issues we can talk about, but that's not the way to do it.
Changing course here, we have a Twitter question from Mia. She wants to know why the Mayor Hamilton does not allow Indiana Recovery Alliance into People's Park to give aid.
Well, we do allow them into People's Park to give aid. They're very active. I've met with Indiana Recovery Alliance. They're a nonprofit. They work with the Department of Health and our county health officials, and we work closely with them. We have a lot of recovery issues in Bloomington. We have addictions. We have mental health and addiction issues together, and we work closely with Recovery Alliance and many others to try to do what we can on that. Now, I will say, as to People's Park and Seminary Park and others, I also do believe that it's important that those public parks be public, available to people from all walks of life, all ages, all interests, and that's what public parks are for. That's what they mean, and we will continue to work to try to make sure our public parks are places that everybody in Bloomington can enjoy and be feel comfortable in, and that's something we'll continue to work on. But we work closely with the Recovery Alliance.
Dunhill Apartment Project has been awarded approval. It's there by the stadium. Yeah. Somewhat controversial by the neighborhood residents, say that they didn't want to be surrounded by no parking, loud students. But, you know, Bloomington's growing, and we've talked a lot about this with former Mayor Cruzan. What's your stance on these growing duplexes and resident concerns?
Well, you know, there's always some tension when a new investment or a new idea comes to town. Dunhill, the corner of 17th and Dunn, which is what we're talking about right next to the stadium, is of course overwhelmingly dominated by student housing right now. And it's been there for several decades, and it's not in the greatest shape. And we have the opportunity for a new investment to redo and put in new student-oriented housing, I should say. It's not dedicated to students, but it's likely to be students and student-oriented housing. And it's a major investment that I think will enhance the physical and kind of cultural and frankly connectedness of that whole intersection. I use adding students every year, several hundred, up to 500 a year. I use not adding dorms. Those students are going to live somewhere. In my view, and I supported the project in the end, I worked with the developers to steer it where I think it should be. That corner of 17th and Dunn is a very good place to have students. It's close to campus, it's right on the bus lines, it's right near a lot of parking at the stadium. It's where students are right now, and it's a good place for them to be. So a $50 million investment is a good thing there, in my view. There are neighbors who are concerned about it. We've made clear we'll do parking programs to help deal with that. And the last thing I want to say is, because I worked very intensively with the developers and insisted that they provide a $1 million payment to support affordable housing, that's never been done before, as far as I know, in the city, and it's a big deal. It means as new investment comes in to support market rate housing, like student-oriented, it's also going to help us create many units of housing that can be affordable to working people who don't make a lot of money or low-income folks, and I think that's a bargain that's worth getting.
Those that may be concerned about that $1 million, how does that get traced and where does it go and that it's being used for what it's supposed to be used for?
Sure. We just worked with council, and last week the council, city council, passed an ordinance to create a new housing development fund that will be appropriated by city council and that will be managed by the city, the administration, my administration, to accomplish the objectives that we agree on. It'll go through the regular appropriation processes. And so that $1 million, and we hope additional funds that we can get from other sources, can go into that new fund that will support affordable housing. There'll be, again, annual appropriation, and there'll be annual reporting on what's done with it, and very transparent. So the public not only can see what's going on, but they can make suggestions, too, about what we ought to do with it.
And this was all part of your initiative to combat homelessness, right?
Yes, it's part of the whole affordable housing initiative, from homelessness to workforce housing. And we have a community task force that's thinking about it. And this fund is one piece of that effort.
I see the downtown recycling center is closing by the end of the month, mainly due to the location next to the trades district, which will be, at least you're hoping, a big hub of construction soon. So do you see any plans for a new location for downtown recycling, or has that pretty much dried up in your mind?
Well, I hope Chad and his team, they're very creative people and it's been great what they've been doing there, can find alternatives for them. Chad, that was done in 2011, I think, as a kind of a temporary place, putting them in the middle of a parking lot and using up 20 parking places. And it was always meant, from my understanding, of course it wasn't me, but that it was always meant to be a kind of a temporary thing that they could use until they found a permanent location. It's a private business. They've been scrappy and entrepreneurial, and they've lasted for 5 years there, frankly, in part because the Trades District didn't move. As the Trades District activates, that location is one that's going to be really very active and prime for investment and parking and other needs. So it just needed to change. We're certainly willing to look at other alternative places and hope they can keep doing what they're doing.
Is there a need for more? I mean, the city has its own trash and recycling pickup. That doesn't necessarily, I guess, work in terms of the apartments and maybe some other developments downtown. So is there a need for more recycling downtown?
Well, I think we find that out. First, all recycling is good. You know, we want to encourage that. We have, of course, household recycling. We don't have recycling at a lot of the bigger buildings in town, apartment buildings, and we want to encourage that. And having an entrepreneur who wanted to start a business and try to generate a business for that is great. Whether he can make that happen or what the role of the city is another question. And I'm glad the city was able to be helpful for 5 years as he kind of tried to get that business off the ground. But we can't keep it where it is, and he really needs to think about, as a private business person, what his options are.
Speaking of the Trades District, I see there's an announcement scheduled for Wednesday morning, 10:15 at the Trades District, which this will air right before the official okay. announcement, so I don't know how much you can tell us, if anything, but what's going on at the Trades District?
Well, that's right, Joe. Wednesday morning, there's going to be a public announcement about a good development for the Trades District. I can't really share the details of it now, but we've been working hard to activate and accelerate the jobs growth at the Trades District. That's been my focus. We always could get housing, but we need to focus on jobs in the Trades District. And what we'll be announcing Wednesday morning is a first step in a private investment in the Trades District that we'll be sharing details with. And of course, it goes with the Dimension Mill building, which the Redevelopment Commission is working with the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation, really to create a really exciting kind of WeWorks co-work. A co-location space for lots of new companies and new entrepreneurs to be, also with an affordable housing development just west of Rogers Street that PEDCOR is working on. So I hoped that the Trades District would be a kind of organic development where you have building blocks start to come in as investors came in and we came in. And tomorrow we'll be announcing a third and very important, on Wednesday, a very important piece of that.
I see Monday you vetoed a city council proposal for a parking study commission. You cited 37 city boards, commissions, and essentially saying maybe this is a good time to think about all these boards and what they do. What's the response been to your veto?
Well, you know, we'd worked with the council and the sponsor to try to indicate that yes, of course, parking's an important issue and looking at it and reviewing it is important. But I do feel one of my jobs as mayor is to try to run an efficient government and be effective for the people who pay our salaries and put us here. We urge that they not create a 38th commission, board, or committee, but instead to work with us either to do a little study task force or maybe combine some of the commissions and committees that we've got. Because we do have a traffic commission, we have a bicycle pedestrian commission, and now they proposed to and passed an ordinance to create a parking commission. And all three of those really relate to how people move in and around the streets and area of our town. So I don't know what they're going to do with the veto. I certainly wasn't looking to veto it, but my job is to try to run an efficient government. I felt like we made it clear that, look, 37 committees and commissions and task forces, before we do a 38th, let's talk about what we've got and see whether we can organize a little more efficiently. It's not a momentous issue, and parking is one we want to work on and with, but again, I'm hired to try to run an efficient government, and I was trying to make clear that, in my view, this is a step that's a little kind of ready, fire, aim, and we need to do a little aiming better.
Well, and you hinted too that some of these also, the more you have, the more they drain some resources too from the city. So there's a cost to this as well.
They absolutely do. Every one of these boards and commissions requires staff time, and of course the people who volunteer on that board and commission want to do things and get things done, and they need support for that. And we have a lot of them. 37 of them is a lot, and some of them are done by state statute, but not most of them. And I do think one of my jobs is to try to be efficient, and so that's the signal I sent to them by saying I didn't think this was the right move.
Well, the Bloomington tradition of the canopy of lights is coming up, holiday season, right around the corner. Are you excited as your first term of mayor to see all these festivities being kicked off?
I tell you, I've been to that canopy of lights a lot of times. I love it, jingling my keys and seeing the lights come on. And every time I've been there, they've come on at the right time. So I'm got my fingers crossed this time, and it's a beautiful tradition. It's a wonderful, magical night on the square. I hope everybody comes down. We'll hope for good weather. I have no idea what it'll be. Who knows? But it is a place to be in Bloomington, and I know my kids, who are now teenagers or older, still remember those times when they were down on the square, as we do as parents, too, who took our kids down there. So any age is welcome down there.